We covered a little bit of redemption last time we came together, but I'm going to go over it again this morning because it's been a few weeks. This thing of being redeemed. When a person trusts Jesus Christ for salvation, Christ redeems that person. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
We'll go back and look at verse number 23 there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person in this room is a sinner.
Amen.
Now, if you've been born again and washed in the blood, you're a saved sinner.
Amen.
Amen. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse number 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every work that you've ever done, every church that you've ever visited, every dollar or penny that you've ever dropped in the plate, all of it comes short of the glory of God. The only sacrifice that would be acceptable to God is the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And He paid for our salvation with His own blood. And I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. There's folks today, and whether it be out of ignorance or whether it be out of pride or whatever it might be, they try to work their way to heaven. Jacob's ladder mentality, trying to climb their way all the way up to heaven, trying to make it to heaven on their works and on their good deeds and all those things. But that is not going to cut it. When you get to heaven, your works are going to be tried, but they're all going to come up short. You know what the Bible says about our works and our righteousness in the sight of God? The Bible says they're as filthy rags. It comes up short to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That word redemption means a repurchase of something by paying a ransom for it. A repurchase of something by paying a ransom for it. Let's look at two examples of that in the Scriptures. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter number 15. Whenever, I don't know about y'all, but we didn't come from a monkey. Amen?
Amen.
God had everything to do with mankind being created. You take a little baby boy, a little baby girl or boy, and you watch that whole process as it grows in its mother's tummy, and it goes through that whole process and how it's fed, and you watch that whole birthing process all the way up to the very end when it finally comes out. You cannot say there's not a God when you see all that. When you see all that take place, they take that little picture and they show it growing, and God is the only, it could only be God that would design something so spectacular that it could do that it could recreate life. And so God created mankind, and He created Adam and Eve in the garden for His glory, for His honor, for His pleasure. They sinned against God, they followed after Satan, and the Bible says that if you're not saved, then the devil is your father. And so when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He repurchased, He bought you back with His blood when you accept Him as your Savior. Look at some examples of this. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. Exodus 15, verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. This is a part of the song of Moses. Can you imagine all these people singing that song? Man, what a choir. That would blow every choir in this world away. But what had happened here was the Jews, God's chosen people, God called up Abraham. He was the father of the Jews. And God separated those people. He gave them a land. He told them to stay in that land. And they were His people. And they disobeyed God and they ended up down in Egypt. Well, those people had belonged to God. They were God's people. And then they ended up in Egypt. Now they belonged to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians kept them as slaves and such forth. And so God redeemed them. He delivered them out of Egypt. Well, that's exactly what took place with us. This world had us. The devil had us before you were saved. And Jesus Christ, He paid with His blood on the cross of Calvary to buy you back. Creation that He made, that He created, mankind that He loved and He created, He's having to give His own life to purchase them back from something that the devil had taken away from him. Look at verse number 16 in that same chapter. Exodus 15:13. We just read. Look at verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast what? Purchased. He bought back His people. And that's exactly what He did for us. In a sense, when Adam sinned against God, the human race was kidnapped by Satan. And Jesus Christ, He became our ransom. He paid the price for the goods captured by the enemy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. First Timothy chapter number 2, and look at verse number 5 and 6. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the entire world on the cross of Calvary. He died to buy back and purchase every single person. And I'm telling you, the devil, he is out to absolutely destroy every single person he can get his hands on. And do you know how he's been very successful in doing that? He's been successful in doing that because he knows that the blood of Jesus Christ paid for those people's sins. But if he can just convince them that they have to continue to work for that salvation and not to accept the blood atonement, then he has them. And I'm telling you that he's a brother, you know, I keep referring back to Brother Hodge, but man, he talked about how the Bible, the waters have been muddied so bad where nobody knows what's truth anymore. Nobody knows what's right. You mean to tell me that that's by chance? The devil's behind every bit of that. If he can get you to not believe that there's a final authority and not believe there's a Bible, and if he can get you to believe that, and you know, it might be this one or it might be this one, then he can mess with your mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They chose not to believe truth, and the devil's blinded their minds. And now you've got people today that say they're Christians, but they're trying to work their way to heaven. And they've got, I don't know what kind of salvation they say they have, but it's not the same one I have. Amen. The salvation I have, I get convicted when I don't go to church. I get convicted when I don't read my Bible, when I don't pray. How they can say they're Christians and go sometimes and not go sometimes, and that they can wear whatever they want and do whatever they want. I don't know what kind of salvation they got, but I got a different dose of it. Amen. Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Something changed when God saved me. Something changed when God saved you. And I've seen people get saved. And man, they had one kind of mindset on life. God saved them and that whole thing turned around and changed. Why? There's something different. There's something different. But the devil, if he can convince someone that they can do it on their own and they can work for salvation, if he can convince them to do that, then man, that's what they're going to do, and that person will never get saved. They're going to have a rude awakening when they wake up in hell one day. How'd you like to get down there and say, man, I thought I gave money to that church. I thought I went to church. I thought I did good by giving away clothes. I thought I did good by donating all these things. The whole time the devil's just laughing, saying, I got them. Amen. Jesus Christ, He purchased us back on the cross of Calvary. And I've given the illustration before with my house. Someone comes up to me and says, Brother Andrew, we want to pay your house off. We're going to write one check and pay the whole thing off. And I say, nope, I enjoy making those payments every month. I'm going to keep working towards paying this thing off. How foolish would that be? Amen. But Jesus Christ did that for us. He said, I paid the price. He read the verse this morning that my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus Christ went and He's prepared a place for us. And He said, it's ready for you. I paid for all the sins you've ever committed and ever will do. I paid for it on the cross of Calvary. I've redeemed. I've paid the price to buy you back. And if you don't accept salvation, if you don't get saved, you're telling God, nope, I appreciate what you did, but I'm going to keep trying to do it myself. And that's going to land someone straight in hell. But the devil's been very successful in trying to muddy those waters and cause the mass confusion there when it comes to it. But Jesus Christ, He paid for the sins of the entire world on the cross of Calvary. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Watch this verse right here. 1 John 2:2, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the what? The whole world. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary for the entire world. The person just has to accept Jesus Christ. All they have to do is accept what He did for them on the cross of Calvary. He said, I will take that payment. I will accept Jesus Christ as my payment on the cross of Calvary. And He purchased for the sins of the entire world. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For those that are saved, for those that are born again, been washed in the blood. Look at what this verse says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse number 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? We studied that. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the sealing of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Which ye have in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. What was the price? The price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I know we're turning to a lot of verses here, but we're studying God's Word this morning. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1. There's so many churches everywhere that have gotten away from teaching God's Word in the churches. They turn to, and again, you know, there's nothing wrong sometimes, I guess, if someone wants to use curriculum and all that, but man, people need to get back to studying God's Word, see what God has to say instead of man. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse number 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You're not redeemed with corruptible things. You're not redeemed with how much money you give. And you're supposed to do those things. You're supposed to go, you're supposed to hand out tracts. You're supposed to go to church. You're supposed to give your tithes and offerings and missions and all those things. Those are all things that a child of God should do, and God will bless you greatly for doing it. And you're missing out on blessings of God if you don't do those things. I don't know about y'all, but man, last Sunday when I was at home, I was sick. I was running a fever. I could not come to church, but I was absolutely miserable not being at church last Sunday. And Joel Osteen just didn't do it for me on the television. Amen. Actually, none of the preachers really did. Amen. I tried to get my fix of it. I could not wait. As soon as I thought church might be over, I'm texting Brother Zane saying, please put the message online so I can listen to Brother Heitch's Sunday school, so I could listen to the morning message. And the computer was messed up, and it was the next day before I could hear it. But it bothered me, and I don't know how people nonchalantly can just come whenever they want to and not whenever they want to. I don't know. But all those things are things Christians should do. They should go to church. They should give. But that is not what saves you, and that's not what keeps you saved. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're kept saved by the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. He is the one that holds your salvation. He is the one that keeps you saved. It's nothing you do. Now, your life can be greatly affected by the things that you do. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter number 2. Chapter 2, look at verse number 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know how more plain you can get than the Bible just telling us how we're saved, and it's not by works. But look at verse number 10. After salvation, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good what? Good work. Works are absolutely still a part of the Christian life, but they have nothing to do with getting you saved or keeping you saved. That's something we're just supposed to do. We're supposed to find something to do for God and do it. Amen. Whether it's planting flowers around a sign or whether it's cleaning the church, whatever we can do for God, let's do it. Passing out tracts. All those things are things we're supposed to do as a child of God. We're created a workmanship, created unto good works. But the works does not save you, and the works will not keep you saved. Amen. All right. Look at Acts chapter 20. So we are redeemed. Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. We're bought with a price. He paid for us with His own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. Look at what Acts chapter number 20, verse 28 says of this blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Look at the last part of that verse right there. Which He hath purchased with His own blood. You know what we see right there? We see the Trinity. We see the Trinity. God Himself became flesh. And Jesus Christ is the image of God. God Himself became flesh, and He paid for us on the cross of Calvary with His own blood. Brother Heitch preached during the revival on that. With God contaminating Himself with man, but yet that blood still stayed pure. It still stayed perfect. He bought us with His precious blood. Us who are unclean, us who are filthy, we're rotten. Man, we don't deserve salvation for nothing. I did not deserve salvation, but He gave it to me anyway, and I accepted that. And His precious blood, man, was applied to my filthy, rotten heart, and God made my heart clean again, and He saved me, and He bought me back from the devil. It was God's blood that did it. The people that receive Jesus Christ, they get in on this redemption. The people that reject Christ, even though Jesus Christ paid for their sins on the cross of Calvary, they go to hell. Hell's a real place. I know that most churches today, man, you will not hear a message just straight on hell. If you die without Jesus Christ, you end up going to hell. You don't hear that very often, but hell's a very real place. Man, I can't imagine I believe at one point or another in every person's life, they'll hear the truth of the gospel. God will provide that. He'll give them the truth of the gospel. But man, how many people are in hell this morning and they sat in churches where they were told you got to work for it and you got to keep working for it. And ended up and not accepting the Jesus Christ the whole time saying, I paid. I paid for that price on the cross of Calvary. Turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You say, Brother Andrew, we've heard all this over and over again. Well, man, I'm just trying to get y'all to see here on what God did for us when He saved us. And what a wonderful thing that He did for us when He saved us. John chapter 3, look at verse number 16. Everybody knows this verse. We sing it sometimes during our morning service. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That was the price that was paid. Jesus Christ gave His life. God gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary to save our sins. Now, He loved the world enough that He gave His Son. He paid for the sins of the entire world on the cross of Calvary. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you accepted Jesus Christ, if you accepted the blood payment that He shed on the cross of Calvary, you have eternal life. It's everlasting, eternal life. Nothing can undo that. But look at the last part. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Can you imagine a God that created the heavens and the earth? He spoke the world into existence. He created man for His pleasure, so He could have somebody that would honor Him and worship Him and fellowship with God. To think about the God of heaven and earth wants to fellowship with us. That's an amazing thing, is it not, Brother Patrick? That's an amazing thing. But that's what God wanted. And so He created man, and man fell. They sinned in the garden. They've been sinning ever since. In the Garden of Eden, they were perfect. There was no sin. And they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then they received a conscience. And they received that conscience, and they disobeyed their conscience. The Bible says that before the flood, that they did every evil thing they could imagine. You know what we're doing today? The world, every evil thing they can imagine. If they can think it up, that they're going to do it, regardless of what God thinks about it. And so God said, I have got to fix this. He called out a people, the Jewish people, and He called them out. That was His chosen people. And He had a law that He signed with them, an agreement. Sometime when we go through and study that, I'll show you where, you say, well, those people were under the law. They agreed to it. God gave it to them and they agreed to it. It was a contract. God said, listen, here's what it is, and here's what I'll do for you if you'll keep it. And they said, we will do it. All that is written therein, we will do it. That's what they said. Well, that didn't work. They didn't keep the law. And all these things, God gave them human government. He gave them a conscience. He gave them prophets. All these things God gave them, none of them worked. Not because of God, because of man. And so He said, I'll send My Son down there. So Jesus Christ comes, and He is the payment. He died on. He was the once for all payment on the cross of Calvary with His blood. So you can imagine this. The Creator of the heaven and earth sent His only begotten Son. Not His only Son, like the NIV says. If it was His only Son, then we couldn't be the sons of God, could we? We couldn't. So it was His only begotten Son that He sent, died on the cross of Calvary. Now God did that for you, and then you're going to stand before God and say, I appreciate what You did killing your only begotten Son. I appreciate that He shed His blood. I appreciate that He went to hell for me, but I never accepted it because I was going to do it my own. It says the wrath of God abides on that person that believes not. I can't imagine if I gave my son for somebody and they didn't end up taking it. You know, they just pretty much spit in my face and said, no, you know how mad that would make me? That I lost my son over trying to save somebody that wouldn't take the saving? And so God says, it says the wrath of God abides on that person. So Jesus Christ, with His own precious blood, He redeemed us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. This redemption, this is an eternal redemption. An eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12. Oh, I'm in Revelation, which reads way different. That says, one woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes. More hereafter. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. All right, Hebrews 9, 12. All right, watch this verse. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, the Old Testament, that's what they did, but by His own blood, talking about Christ, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It was a once for all payment. God saved us once and for all. That, He said it was an eternal redemption. And, you know, I know that there's, we're going to study through some of these things and dispensations and go through and see how it laid out and what God did for us. But, when God saved you, it's an eternal thing. And God saved you, the inside man, the outside man is still lost. So what do you mean by that? We still think things we shouldn't. We still do things we shouldn't do and all those. But Jesus Christ, He sealed us on the inside. That's the part of you that's saved, that's going to heaven when you die. This old body here, this body's going to get saved whenever we get raptured out of here and get a new body. No more sinuses, amen. No more asthma. No more all those other things. And Jesus Christ takes us, and He bought us with His precious blood, and He saved us, and He redeemed us and bought us back. It's another great part of this wonderful salvation that He did for us. I want to take you real quick before we finish up here tonight. This isn't in my notes, but look at Acts chapter number 15 with me. Acts chapter number 15. On Wednesday night, kind of touched on this just a little bit. But the devil has been attacking God's Word for a long time. You know when he started? In the garden. He messed with God's Word in the garden. Right from the get-go, God commanded Adam and Eve, and the devil already started messing with Eve's mind and correcting the Bible. And it's been doing it ever since. And so, the devil has convinced people today that they have to work for salvation. They gotta work to try to keep it. And that's one of the greatest things that we face, and that you're out trying to street preacher. You're trying to witness to somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ. And tell them about all these great things that happened at salvation. I mean, we went through all these different ones. We got one more left. We'll go over in a couple weeks, but we got one left out of these, all these things that God did for us when He saved us. And every one of them prove and show us that we're eternally secure once we're saved. And so, alright, look at Acts chapter 15. Look at verse number 1. Now, just to give you a little background on this, Paul the apostle was saved in Acts chapter number 9. That's where God saved him on the road to Damascus. God Himself, the resurrected Christ, took him up and He dispensed unto him the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said that's how a person is going to be saved. Okay, in Acts chapter 10, Peter, who was one of the elders and leaders of the Jews there, God showed him a vision. These animals that were unclean in this net, that in this vision that he had. He went into a trance and saw this, and God showed Peter that the Gentiles were no longer unclean and that things were changing. Okay, so Acts chapter 15. So Paul's preaching, the gospel of the grace of God. He's preaching, if you want to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He died, was buried, and rose again. And the Jews had a problem with it because they didn't believe that He was the Messiah. They wouldn't accept that. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. So these men were coming into the churches that Paul and Barnabas were preaching at, and they were saying, hey, unless you get circumcised, you cannot be saved. Look what verse 2 says. It said, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, you know what that means? They got upset at them. It wasn't a small one. It was no small dissension. They were coming into the church trying to tell people they had to work for salvation. They had to do something in order to be saved. More than just accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so the church said, well, y'all need to go to Jerusalem. And then, let me find here. Alright, look at verse number 5. Verse 5. But there arose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So in verse 1 they said, well, you just got to be circumcised or you can't be saved. And now they're saying, well, you have to be circumcised and then you got to keep the commandments. You know what they were teaching? They were teaching that you had to do something to be saved and you have to do something to keep your salvation. And that's what's happening. And they're having a big council meeting. Paul the Apostle says, God told me this is how salvation's supposed to be. Peter saw it. God gave it to him in a vision. And these other legalistic Jews were coming in there. They were saying, no, you've got to do something to be saved. You've got to do something to stay saved. Look at verse number 7. And when there had been much disputing, I can just imagine it's one of these Republican conventions, you know, just back and forth going like crazy. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. He was the leader there. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That was in chapter 10. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. Look at verse number 11. But we believe that through the grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved. Verse number 11. For we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. You know what? Before this point, there was a little bit different part of salvation. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, 38, they had to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It was a little bit different. The program was a little bit different. But God, whenever the Jews turned their back on God, they rejected Him as the Messiah. They stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. God turned from dealing with just the Jews to now dealing with the Jew and Gentile in one body. And He saved Paul. He gave Paul the dispensation of the grace of God. And now they have this council. And Peter stood up, being a Jew, and said, we shall be saved even as they. By the grace of God. By the same gospel that Paul was preaching. And from this point forward, that's how people are supposed to be saved. If you go back to Acts 2:38, Peter's preaching, he says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That was repenting and also water baptism for salvation. That's what they did. But now things have changed. Now look at the very next chapter. Look at Acts chapter 16. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 30. Notice what happens here. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. I'll wait till you get there. Acts 16, 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. From Acts 15, they had a council meeting. And they said, hey, listen, we need to get this settled once and for all. Do we have to work Do we have to be circumcised? Do we got to keep the commandments to stay saved? And Peter stood up and said, no, God showed me that what Paul is preaching is right. This is how it's going to be. The resurrected Christ showed Paul that we're going to be saved by grace through faith. And then you got all the Pauline doctrines. That's where we, as a church, get our doctrines for salvation from Paul. And for how the church is supposed to run. And so God revealed that thing to him. And do you know that last year, I've got the newspaper article in my car. I can show it to you. And I'm not just trying to bash. I'm not bashing. I'm not trying to do that against the Southern Baptist, but that's who it was. I've got the article in my car where last year, last May, they had a council meeting to decide on whether or not or how a person should be saved. I've got the article in there. I'm going to be using it in my Bible class on Monday night. In the article, and so you know what the devil's done? He's messed with God's Word, and he's still today, in 2015, a major belief system, or whatever you want to call it, denomination, got together and they said, we're going to talk about how a person gets saved. And what they were debating is whether or not they were going to accept Calvinism, which is a belief that God picks who is and who isn't and all those things. And I was like, man, all this was settled back here. People are saved by grace through faith. That's how it is, man. If you want to get saved today, you've got to come before God. You've got to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe that you died, you were buried, and you rose again, and you did that for me. Would you come in my heart and save me? God saved you just like that. It has nothing to do with the water. All that's a part of after you get saved, the testimony and all those things. And a part of what makes, you know, independent Baptists, we believe in that. And we believe in that testimony of water baptism. But that's not what saves you. All that is done the very moment that you believe. You take, and God gives you that faith. And I'm telling you that even all these years later, there are so many churches around this one. Not just Baptists, there's all kinds of different churches. You go in every one of those churches and say, how does a person get saved? And you'll get a different answer in just about every one of them. Won't you? I mean, they're all kind of different denominations. They all cannot be right. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That baptism is not water. That baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God that we studied several weeks ago when we went over that. That's the only way to be saved. But you go in each one of these churches and they all have a different thing. And you know what most of them, the majority of them, they'll go right back there to Acts 15 and they'll say, you have to do something to be saved, you've got to do something to stay saved. When they settled it, just about every one of those churches take their roots all the way back to Acts. Is that right, Brother Heitch? Just about every one of them. About every denomination, every single, all the different Church of Christ, Church of God. I mean, you name them all over, you know, and you say, well, there's good people. Yeah, there's good people in those churches. There's people that love God. There's people that are saved. I'm not talking about them. I'm just talking about the teaching of God's Word. And just about every one of them go back and they say, well, you got to do something to be saved. You got to do something to stay saved. And all that was settled back in Acts chapter 15. But yet we're still debating it today. Does a person need to do something to be saved? Does a person need to do something to stay saved? And Jesus Christ is standing back saying, I paid for it all on the cross of Calvary. I redeemed mankind with my precious blood on the cross. And all people have to do is accept what I did on the cross. And that's all they have to do. I thank God for a wonderful salvation that we have.